Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In late August, the Solid Waste Authority of Central Ohio announced that they had to find a way to increase the volume in the landfill south of Columbus or increase the dumping fees for everyone in Franklin County. Part of the plan to keep SWCO in the black would end a waiver program that permits private haulers to take their trash to cheaper out-of-district landfills. That has riled the Village of Canal Winchester and its relationship with Waste Management, Inc., the world's largest private waste management company in the world. Well, I already said that. And SWCO's budget fix might inspire legislation. Maybe not. We have a legislator in the room that can tell us why or why not that can happen. For now, welcome Ron Mills, the executive director of SWCO. Thanks for being here, Ron.
My pleasure, Ann. Thanks for having me.
And also in the studio is State Representative Marian Harris. Her district includes Canal Winchester, and she's been trying to work as a mediator on this. And we appreciate your insights today, Marian.
Thank you very much for having me here.
And finally, we welcome Chris Strayer. He is the Development Director in the Village of Canal Winchester, and he can give us the background on what sort of impact this is having on Canal Winchester. Waste management officials were asked to join the conversation. They declined. They also were asked to supply us with a statement on their position on this matter, and they declined that opportunity as well. Ron, let's start with you. Could you just start out with a rundown on SWCO's financial situation and you know, what led you to this?
Sure, but very briefly before I do
Did
that.
Did I make a mistake?
No, I'd like to compliment Representative Marian Harris for her tireless efforts over the last 4 to 6 weeks in working with SWCO and in trying to identify a suitable solution to the situation we find ourselves in. In my role as executive director, I serve as advocate for all of the people who live and work in Franklin County. So the challenge is to arrive at a suitable balance between the very serious needs that the Village of Canal Winchester has and the overall best public interest of the county. What's driving the issue that we're struggling with is the same issue that is affecting businesses, units of government, and citizens in Ohio and all across the country, and that's money. Simply put, money. We are not bringing in enough revenue to cover the costs of operating the county landfill. And so we need to look at options available to solve that dilemma.
Tell us about the money. Tell us about the shortfall and what exactly you're talking about. Give us the numbers.
Well, our landfill is sized to optimally take in about 900,000 to 950,000 tons per year of refuse generated in Franklin County. This year, we will be lucky if we bring in 800,000. I say lucky in terms of the revenue needs we have. We had forecasted, because of the economic downturn that began in late 2007, that by 2009 we would be at about $800,000 this year deficit spending. Because the economic downturn is deeper than anyone expected, we find that we're going to be about $2.6 million in the red this year. If we look at 2010, we're forecasting that issue becomes even more serious at about $3.5 million additional. Bottom line is, unless we find a way to substantially cut the fixed costs at the landfill or increase the amount of revenue coming in the front door at the gate, we will not have money to continue to operate past 2010.
SWCO's been around since, I know I should know this,
1989.
Okay. And has SWCO ever faced this kind of this kind of shortfall before?
No, we have not. We've enjoyed the luxury of having economic conditions that have generated the revenue that we need to not only operate the landfill, but to fully fund the community programs that advance the concepts of recycling and waste reduction.
And so the irony is obvious. You want waste reduction. You want people to recycle, but you need them to bring more garbage in.
That is exactly a dilemma that we have.
Now, last year, were you starting to see a downturn? Were things starting to tighten up last year in the last budget cycle?
Yes, we did. We saw about a 5 to 6% reduction in the volume of waste being delivered to our landfill. And it's an established fact that waste generation is a lagging indicator of economic conditions. So this didn't come as a surprise. What surprised us was how steep the decline has become. Statewide, we're looking at about a 15% to 20% reduction in waste volume. So it's affecting every landfill operator throughout the state, not just SWACO. And we see that that trend will probably not level off until sometime next year.
Okay, I'm talking to Ron Mills. He's the executive director of SWACO. That's where all of our garbage goes in Franklin County, or most of it. We're here to talk about their budget shortfalls, their projected budget shortfalls, and what they're trying to do about it. And we also have some folks in here from Canal Winchester who want to talk about how it's affecting them and how that should matter to all of us. Ron, talk about the waiver program now that affects Canal Winchester.
10 years ago, SWACO decided, because we were in the economic position to do so, to allow private waste collection companies, such as Waste Management, to take material generated within Franklin County out of Franklin County for disposal. Of the 1.1 to 1.2 million tons per year generated in our county, about 30% of that was being exported out of the county for the past 10 years. With the financial situation we're now facing, we are looking to not allow that to continue. Those waivers expire. That's part of the original agreement. Those waivers expire December of this year. So what we are looking at is the expiration of those agreements that would then require that Franklin County Waste come to our landfill for disposal.
So they were 10-year waivers?
They were actually 5-year waivers, two of which were issued back-to-back.
How many waivers are out there?
We have not denied a waiver to any company that has requested one over that period of time.
And why would a company request a waiver?
Because they operate their own capital facilities in the region, landfills and transfer stations. And so it's in their financial interest many times to direct that collected material to those facilities to cover their fixed costs, the same issue that we're dealing with at our landfill.
And they can do it more cheaply.
They can do it because they can internalize those costs. And on a unit basis, dispose of the material cheaper.
So 10 years ago when they instituted these waivers, it was sort of inconceivable at the time that there might be this kind of a downturn and you might have to, well, you're not reneging on anything, but you would not renew them at some point. Was this always a possibility?
Yes. I mean, the waivers were always issued with the understanding that they were 5-year duration. And toward the expiration of those waivers, we would evaluate where we were in the marketplace, what the general economy was like, and whether or not we would be able to reissue the waivers. So five years ago, we determined that we could. This time, we've determined that we cannot.
How many waivers are out there? Did you?
Every major hauler, there are three major haulers in the region that hold the waivers. There are some other smaller haulers that also have the waivers allowing them to haul out of county. But the three primary haulers are Waste Management Incorporated, Rumpke, and Republic / Allied, a company that is recently consolidated with Allied and Republic.
Why would SWACO grant the waivers in the first place? Why not generate as much revenue as you can right off the bat 10 years ago?
Because 10 years ago, if we had enough revenue to cover our costs, we accepted the idea of allowing the material to be exported out of county in order to preserve landfill space at the county landfill, to extend its life as long as possible. And as long as we had the revenue coming in, we could afford to do that.
That was more cost efficient at the time.
Yes, it was.
Better use unit. What other cuts is SWACO looking at besides the waiver, ending the waiver program?
Well, we have made cuts the last 2 years. In our budget for 2009, we cut over $1 million in operations and programs. We have about a $32 million per year budget. So in 2009, we cut $1.2 million. Going into 2010, we're proposing an additional almost $2 million in cuts. We've reduced our workforce by about 15% over the last 2 years. So we have done everything that we can to either defer or to eliminate unnecessary expenses and to focus on the core mission of our organization and the operation of the landfill. But fixed costs with the landfill are something that cannot be easily dialed down. the economics of operating a large landfill like ours require us to maintain basic operations, regardless of how much waste comes through the gate.
What was the timing in announcing the ending of the end of the waiver program? Because you're ending it for everybody.
That's correct. The waivers will expire December 31st, 2009.
And when did you let? I mean, there was a certain assumption, obviously, in Canal Winchester that they would continue.
We first announced this publicly as a potential option this past spring of 2009. The options before us are to either increase the gate rate of the tons of garbage coming in, or to slash our costs as much as possible to try to balance the budget, or to look for additional material to come in to generate the revenue. We cannot increase we've come to the conclusion we cannot increase the gate rate because of the economic impact that would have on everyone who lives and works in Franklin County. We've come to the conclusion that we cannot reduce our costs further because the fixed costs of operating the site are what they are. That leaves as the only remaining option looking to attract or require additional volume to come into the landfill to generate the revenue.
Are there other communities out there like Canal Winchester that have been affected so much by this decision?
No, Canal Winchester is the one that is primarily affected because they are the host community for the waste management transfer station, which is what facilitates the exporting of the waste to out-of-county landfills.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about SWACO's decision to end its waiver program in order to stay in the black and how it's affecting at least one community in Central Ohio, Canal Winchester. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU NPR, 820 NPR News. We'll be right back.
Support for WOSU comes from Integrate, helping to improve business performance through brand design and marketing communications for more than 20 years. On the web at integrateinc.com or at 614-421-0004.
And good morning. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. And the WOSU Fall Membership Drive begins soon, and you can help ensure more regular programming and less fundraising. For every $20,000 we raise before the drive begins, one day of fundraising will be eliminated. Visit WOSU.org/pledgefree for more information. In the weather forecast, currently 51 degrees in downtown Columbus. Some sunshine breaking through the clouds this afternoon, a high of 62. Clear skies tonight with patchy frost after midnight and a low of 38. There is a frost advisory in effect from 2 a.m. until 9 a.m. Thursday. And now back to All Sides.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining me today, Ron Mills from the Solid Waste Authority of Central Ohio, and Chris Strayer, Development Director for the Village of Canal Winchester. Also, Marion Harris, she's a state representative, and her district includes Canal Winchester. We're talking about the economic impact on SWACO these days and also how SWACO's managing that. One of the things SWACO has decided to do, they haven't voted on it yet, it's not etched in stone, but they're thinking about ending a waiver program. And Chris Strayer is here to tell us about how ending the waiver program for the entire region affects Canal Winchester. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, describe the agreement. Describe how the waivers affect Canal Winchester. I guess it's your agreement with waste management is at the core of it.
That's correct. We have a host community agreement with waste management in Canal Winchester, and we get revenue from waste management in a couple different ways. Obviously, number one, we get the income tax revenue off of the employees that are employed in Canal Winchester. And then per the host agreement, we get 80 cents per ton for each ton of garbage that comes through Canal Winchester, which is transferred from their trucks to their tippers that go to their landfill. And so that number varies month to month, but that's another source of income that we have from them. And then also a part of that, which is not direct revenue to the village, but we have an agreement with them that states our residents will use waste management as a service provider, and they will receive a premium rate for using waste management.
So premium rate, can you give me a sense?
It's about 50% off what is typical in other communities.
And how much does that save the community?
That doesn't save the community anything because
it's foregone, though.
Sure. It's saving roughly $9 to $10 per household per month.
Okay. How long's the agreement been in place? How long has the transfer station been there?
The transfer station has been there for, I want to say, 4 to 5 years, probably longer than that. We have these host agreements, and we renew those every 2 to 3 years.
How much has it brought in over that 4 or 5 year period? Have you added it all up?
We haven't added it all up. On a yearly basis, depending on what the flow is coming through, it ranges between the $150,000, $160,000 range for the 80 cents per ton.
And how many people in the village, how many residents or households are we talking about?
We have about 6,500 residents in the village.
So you've probably seen a little bit of a downturn then yourself in the revenue from the transfer station.
Absolutely.
So what's it been like this year? What are you projecting?
Well, typically we would see about 15,000 tons per month. We've been seeing anywhere from 10 to 12,000 tons per month.
When you got into the agreement, you entered the agreement with Waste Management. What sort of cautions were? How did they caution you that this was dependent on a completely separate entity?
No, absolutely not. When we entered the agreement with Waste Management, it was under a different time, like Ron said, a different economic time. And actually, at that point, Waste Management was running the landfill for SWACO. And so there wasn't really these discussions happening at that point. And so I believe it was 3 years ago, and Ron can correct me if I'm wrong there, that SWACO took over the operations of the landfill and Waste Management was no longer running the landfill. And so I think that's when these kinds of discussions started to happen.
You started to learn that this might not be forever.
That's correct.
How addicted did Canal Winchester get to that money? What do you use it for? How do you – well, it is spongy. You don't know from year to year.
Sure. It goes into our general fund. So it's used for different various things. I can't really pick out specific things that we use it for, but it is a significant revenue stream for us.
Tell me, what percentage of the overall budget does it usually –
Waste management, all the revenues that we receive from waste management, they equate to about 6 to 7% of our total budget for the year.
Okay. So you're looking at a big slice of money.
Absolutely.
Gone as of December. When did you learn about all of this, that you might be losing the fund?
We learned from waste management about this in early spring of this year.
Same time. And if the waiver program ends, it might cost you more than just the tipping fee issue. Waste management, they might have to do other things.
Waste management could possibly leave the community. You know, they could close their transfer station. There's other operations there besides the transfer station. They have a call center. They have an operations center there. And so if they decide corporately to close that location, we're looking at a job loss of over 250 jobs.
Why would the waiver program and whether they have that or not and how much revenue it brings into Canal Winchester, if all of that ended, why would that affect? And Waste Management isn't here to, you know, talk about it themselves, but you must know by now. Why would it affect any corporate decision to end operations there?
I really can't speak to that. I think that's a question for Waste Management. It's a business decision for them. Is their transfer station tied to their call center, their operations? Probably not when you look at the way they operate, but looking outside of just the corporate business operations, one would have to assume that maybe they are.
Have they said this is a possibility
Yes.
to the city? And what do you say back when they do that? Well, why do you have to take that stuff away too?
Well, certainly we've been having conversations with them, trying to convince them that, you know, they are a valued member of the community. We would like to keep them there, and anything that we can do to help support them and keep them in the community is what we want to do.
How can you get enough support for an issue like this that doesn't affect more people? How do you fight this?
Well, it's certainly affecting every single resident in Canal Winchester.
6,500.
6,500. And so even though we are a smaller community in central Ohio, we're looking at this as a larger regional issue. And we're sympathetic to SWACO's budget. And we know that they're down. We're down. There's a lot of communities, businesses all across the region that are suffering from a poor economy. And we understand that. But we would like to see everybody get together at the table. You know, if we're having this issue right now, what happens the next time the economy economy goes south? Are we going to implement another type of policy that would have a dramatic shift or change on another community? Certainly there's a situation out there that is a win-win for everybody. We realize in Canal Winchester that we're not going to get off without having paid some kind of dues for this policy change. And we understand that. We recognize that. But we just don't think that our skin in the game here should be one of our top five employers. And so what we recommended was very early was to sit down with SWACO and Waste Management and MORPC or the House or whoever it is and start to work through some of these issues to say, this is an issue now. What can we do to solve it for right now for future generations so we don't have to worry about it again?
Why would the Mid-Ohio Regional MORPC just flew up?
Planning Commission.
Thank you. Why would they be interested in this?
Well, they're obviously the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization for Central Ohio. They have their Center for the Environment and Energy. They get into more topics than just planning and transportation. I think this is something that could be very relevant for them. And they also represent, you know, all of the different communities in the region.
Marion, describe your Marion Harris, State Representative Marion Harris, first term. Congratulations.
Freshman.
Yes. Freshman, yes. Describe your district.
Right well, now. My district is the 19th House District. It starts in Westerville. It's all within Franklin County, and it's the eastern border of Franklin County. It's Westerville, New Albany, Jefferson Township, Reynoldsburg, Canal Winchester, Madison, all the way down around Obetz with little bits and pieces of Columbus.
So it's all in Franklin County.
It's all in Franklin County. And it's primarily suburbs.
What do you make of the argument, you know, that's there in black and white that if we don't do this, if we don't do something, we're going to lose too much revenue and it'll affect everybody in Franklin County?
Well, I think that, you know, when we lose a job or our budget goes south, we all have to tighten our belts. I think that wealth should be shared. I think pain should be shared. So, for example, I live in Columbus. I don't have any fee for picking up my trash. You know, maybe we need to look at that. I don't know. I know it's in the Columbus budget. From what I'm told by SWACO, they're hurting as well. Columbus is hurting as well. We're all hurting. All my other suburbs pay for trash. The individuals pay for trash. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we all have to tighten our belts. We all have to look beyond just our own little community or our own little interest and try and find a way that can spread the pain.
How'd you get involved?
Well, I had a letter from my constituent, the mayor of Canal Winchester, explaining their concern about this, and I contacted SWACO. And I will say I've been very pleased with responses. SWACO's been very responsive. We've had a number of meetings. I've been to their board meeting. I've had many meetings with Canal Winchester, been to their board of trustees meetings. I'm not an expert on waste management. All I want is what's fair and right for my constituents and for the county as well.
So, Ron, Marion, you know, Chris, if you want to jump in, where are these talks at right now?
We are continuing dialogue with primarily Waste Management because they, of the three haulers that hold the waivers, are the one company that exports over 90% of the waste that they collect in Franklin County out of county. The other two haulers that hold waivers bring over 80% of what they collect to our landfill. Why the difference between the business approach of those companies, I don't know. I'm not even going to speculate. But the fact is most of what Waste Management collects goes out of Franklin County. So we have been engaged with them for some time now to try to arrive in an agreement that would hopefully solve SWACO's short-term revenue problem, which, by the way, we hope is short-term and that at some point in the future we can return to allowing some portion of the waste generated in the county to go out of county in order to preserve space in our landfill. But for now, we have to have the revenue to stay in operation. So the discussions with Waste Management have focused around what would it take to bring almost all or all of your waste to our landfill while at the same time helping to alleviate the situation that Canal Winchester finds itself in. Those discussions have been very productive over the last couple of weeks. Hopefully we come to closure within the next week or two. I'm not going to share any details because it's a fluid, dynamic situation in negotiations, but I am hopeful that that we can find a solution that is acceptable to all parties. Now, our board would have to approve that that proposed solution.
Are you hoping to have that together by next week when the board meets?
It probably will not happen that soon. And let me clarify one thing, Anne. Our board does not have to act in order to require the return of the waste to our landfill. The board simply has to does not have to. They would allow the existing waivers to expire. So that would not require any action on the part of our board. Now, if we were to allow or enter to an agreement with companies to take material out after those waivers expire, that would require individual board action in each case to agree to the terms of an agreement that would allow that waste to be exported.
What's the deadline for board action to – if you weren't talking about canceling, if you were going to continue the waiver program as it always has operated, would you? Could you do right up to December?
Well, as we said – as we discussed earlier, the waivers expire right at the end of December. If we are not in an agreement with a hauler to take anything out of Franklin County by that time, then they will be required by rule and by law to bring everything they collect in the county to us. So it's in the best interest of these companies to try to reach agreement with us to allow them to take anything, even one ton, out of Franklin County after December 31st of this year.
Marian?
Yeah, I just thought it was important to point out that the companies that take waste out of Franklin County are paying $14 a ton for the privilege of taking the waste out of the county.
Paying $14 a ton to whom?
To SWACO.
Okay, so that's not they're not getting out scot-free.
So they're not. Yeah, there is. You know, there is has been a charge all
well,
along.
Well, let's talk about it. It's called a tipping fee. It's the
That's not the tipping fee.
Okay, that's a different fee.
It's two fees. It is a fee that is levied on all trash generated in Franklin County, regardless of where it's disposed at, that goes to retire the debt on the old trash burning power plant that we took from the city of Columbus in the early 90s. There's another $5 fee that attaches to every ton that goes out of county or in county, regardless,
okay,
that supports SWACO's programs. None of those fees have an influence on the financial condition that we find ourselves in today.
None of those have been waived. It's only the dumping.
Well, they don't need to be waived. They attach regardless of where the waste goes.
Okay.
So those revenue streams would be unaffected. We're not talking about changing those. What we're talking about is redirecting the waste that is currently being collected in Franklin County, going out of county to our landfill in order to meet the costs of operating the landfill.
And those fees, when they're collected, they don't go to the general fund. They go to reduce the debt.
They are dedicated.
That
$14, the $7 to retire the debt is a dedicated revenue stream to do nothing but retire that debt. The $5 is also dedicated by Ohio law, cannot be used to subsidize or support operations at the landfill, must be used only for programs.
Where's the other $2?
There's two more dollars?
Seven and five.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Equal 12.
Good question, Chris. Last year, that fee was the debt retirement fee was raised from $7 to $9.
Why is that?
In order to assure that we had the revenue to retire the debt and to provide for all of the overhead costs involved in administering.
Because then it's per ton.
It's per ton.
So as the tonnage decreased, you need to make up for that.
That's part of the reason.
To keep paying your bills. Mm-hmm.
Can I jump in?
Sure, Chris.
Is all of that $9 going to retiring the debt, or is any of that going to subsidize the landfill?
No, it is not going to subsidize the landfill.
Okay. Marian Harris.
When is the debt going to be retired, and will that help your budget situation?
The debt that we have right now, part of it will be retired by 2016, and part of it will be retired at a date beyond that. I don't have that date in my head at the moment.
Can I jump in real quick? I'm sorry, I keep jumping.
That's okay.
Jumping in.
Chris Hayes is the economic Chris Strayer, economic development director for the Village of Canal Winchester.
Thank you. Yes. I just wanted to the original question you had about working with Waste Management and SWACO and trying to get a deal. And I know those discussions have been happening. I applaud SWACO and Waste Management for sitting down at the table and trying to work something out that can meet all goals. The only thing that we wanted to throw in is that we didn't want to see something so drastically change that it changed the business model so much for any of the private haulers that in a year's time or 2 years' time that maybe the board decided to go back to the waiver program, that none of those private haulers could have the ability to go back to that waiver program because they had to change their business model and operations so much. So that's the only real concern that we had.
If I could speak to that, Ann.
Sure.
We want to return to the present model as soon as possible in order to extend the life of the landfill, as I said before. We also need to change fundamentally some of the ways that we operate. For example, we need to diversify our sources of revenue so we aren't so utterly dependent just on revenue from the landfill operation. As you pointed out at the opening, we have a contradiction in place. We want to reduce the amount of waste that's generated in landfill through recycling and waste avoidance. But at the same time, we're dependent on revenue that comes into the landfill for our survival. So through projects like our landfill gas project that we have in place to convert landfill gas into vehicle fuel and other similar programs, we need to be generating more revenue from those sources and reduce our dependency on revenue from the landfill. There are some other basic business changes we can make in the way we operate that I believe will avoid a recurrence of the situation we find ourselves in today the next time the economy suffers some kind of downturn.
This will never happen again. We're going to take a quick break. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are talking about SWACO, its upcoming budget problems, 2.6 million this year, and how they're going about to fix it, and how it affects Canal Winchester, and what if they can't fix it, how it'll affect the rest of us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Gross, and I have about 15 seconds to explain why you should listen to Fresh Air. You should listen because, unlike this little promo, on Fresh Air we have time. Time to spend with incredibly interesting people in the arts, entertainment, and politics. Enough time that we get to know them. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And on Fresh Air today at noon, Nick Hornby's new novel, Juliet Naked. Like High Fidelity is once again full of music-obsessed characters. But this time, it's not just the fan's vantage point he's writing from. It's also the fan's girlfriend and the musician he's obsessed with. Hornby talks about his new novel on Fresh Air. That begins at noon in 20 minutes right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Support WOSU Public Media by becoming a volunteer today. WOSU is currently looking for a daytime volunteer to assist with the administration of the volunteer program. You must be computer proficient, and you may go through an application and interview process. For more information on this and other volunteer opportunities, visit us online at wosu.org/volunteers. Currently 51 degrees in downtown Columbus. Some sunshine breaks through those clouds this afternoon, and a high of 62. Clear skies tonight with patchy frost after midnight. A frost advisory is in effect from 2 a.m. until 9 a.m. on Thursday. The low tonight, 38 degrees. And now back to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are talking about how the Solid Waste Authority of Central Ohio, SWACO, is going to find a way to increase the volume in the landfill south of Columbus or increase dumping fees for everyone in Franklin County. Joining me today, Ron Mills. He is the executive director of SWACO. Marion Harris, she's the state representative. Her district includes Canal Winchester, where Chris Strayer is the development director and where they are facing a huge shortfall about, was it? 2 to 6% or
6 to 7%.
6 to 7% loss of their in their own revenue base because of a decision by SWCO to or a pending decision to eliminate a waiver program. Ron, could you explain how much it costs to dump a ton of garbage into your landfill and how that's changed over time?
Certainly. We currently charge $36.75 per ton to dispose at our landfill. We've done market studies in the past, and we know that that is the cheapest gate rate posted anywhere in Central Ohio. It's not only the lowest gate rate, it's low by a significant margin. The next cheapest landfill in Central Ohio is about 25% higher than that. So the people of Franklin County, through SWCO's operations, are getting a real good deal in the marketplace with what we do.
Why can you do that?
Well, because we're local government and because we own and operate the landfill. I think Chris mentioned earlier that SWCO took over the operation of the landfill 3 years ago. It was actually January 1st, 2008. And we've been operating with our own workforce and our own equipment ever since. One of the reasons we made that decision was because it would save the taxpayers of the county, everyone in the county, money for us to operate it. About $1 million per year is what we're saving compared to what we were paying Waste Management before. Now, there are a host of fees that are attached to that $36.75. Fees that are mandated by the state of Ohio. We also have a host community fee that we pay to Jackson Township and that goes to fund their road repairs, their fire department, which, by the way, also serves the city of Grove City with fire protection services.
The same
services.
Sort of host fee that Waste Management pays Canal Winchester, right?
That's right.
Okay.
So when you look at what it actually costs to dispose of a ton of garbage, absent all of those fees, including what we discussed earlier in terms of the debt retirement and the generation fee, we're at a number of about $21 to $22 a ton, which, again, is a real bargain in Central Ohio.
I just want to let our listeners know, if you'd like to join this conversation on All Sides with Ann Fisher, call 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Marian Harris.
I had a question for you, Ron. If the per ton figure that you just described to Ann, that's what Waste Management would pay, that's what Rumpke would pay, that's what the third one, I don't remember the name of it. But the biggest trash collector in this county is Columbus. Do they pay?
Yes, they do.
The city, how does that work?
The way this works is we charge everyone the same fee that utilizes the landfill. It has always been the plan since the county commissioners decided to build this landfill with taxpayer dollars in the 1980s that debt and the operation of the landfill would be supported by users of the landfill. It would not be subsidized out of any general fund whatsoever. So it is strictly user-funded. Now, the way this works with the city of Columbus is that they are obligated to pay the same $36.75 everyone else is, but because of the debt on the old trash plant, they've been taking a credit against that debt in lieu of paying us cash. Now, that credit will run out in late 2011, and at that point, the city will be paying us cash for the disposal of every ton.
At that point, if the city starts paying cash, what does that equal? And what does the credit equal at this point in cash? How much does the city spend in credits?
It's exactly the same $36.75.
But in terms of the volume the city brings to the landfill, what does that represent?
I understand. It's about $14 million a year that the city of Columbus pays us to dispose of approximately 340,000 tons, which is about one-third of the total tonnage that comes into our landfill.
Okay, and in Columbus, residents don't pay.
Well, they do through their general income tax because
right.
It comes out of the city's general fund.
Okay. We have got a call. Dave, you're on the air. What would you like to know?
Well, I think the public needs to know that SWACO is the absolutely most ineptly run and flawed organization the government ever created.
Okay, can you be a little bit more specific?
The primary source of SWACO's revenue is tipping fees. The business purpose of SWACO was to preserve landfill space. Its only way of income defeats its very purpose. And as Mr. Mills knows, the actions that they have taken with various recyclers and others out at the former plant, trash burning power plant site, and others has defeated the purpose of recycling by denying other companies a chance to do what SWACO can't do,
which is what?
Totally flawed.
What can SWACO not do?
Recycle papers and plastics and stuff that they're instead diverting by denying other recyclers the right to participate. Things go to the landfill and take away landfill space. Also, that SWACO can try to get the revenue. They're defeating the very purpose that they were supposedly designed to serve.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dee, for calling. Yeah, we talked about that earlier, that it is anathema, what you're going through right now. But what about the recycling?
Well, I'm afraid our caller is misinformed on several points. First of all, SWACO cannot and will not prevent any private company from coming into Franklin County or any community in Franklin County and putting in a recycling system to reduce the amount coming into the landfill and make a profit. That would be a wonderful thing. We have not seen private companies at this point wanting to come in and do that without a subsidy from SWACO. We are not in a position to do that. First of all, the commodity markets for recycling have declined significantly in the last 2 years. But even before that, it was very, very difficult from a business model point of view to achieve a break-even or much less a profit level by operating a for-profit recycling operation in the Midwest. It is a commodity market. It suffers declines, and it also has periods when it increases. We support the development of and the emergence of new technology to make that more cost-effective, and I think that that will continue to happen. And we will have, within the next few years, systems in place, largely out of the private sector, that can effectively reduce the waste stream through recycling and generate enough revenue to cover the costs. But we cannot be in the business of subsidizing these operations one after another throughout the county. The only way we could do that would be through raising additional revenue, which is the topic of the program.
What about the I'm sorry.
It's okay.
What about those organizations? I might have the wrong information about this, but what about those organizations like the grocers who were trying to do the aerobic digesters, but since they were taking waste out of the stream, you were asking them for the $14 per ton tipping fee because that garbage that was supposed to be going to you but was going to the digesters instead was now not, so you were asking for that money anyway.
Okay, wait a minute. Aerobic digesters? Did I hear anaerobic?
Anaerobic, sorry.
You know, we got to make sure we don't get too high tech here. Who knew that waste management was so complicated?
Well, what Chris is talking about is an alternate technology that will take organic wastes and rather than put them in the landfill, achieve what the landfill does but in a much more controlled environment.
More efficient.
That's right. That is to cause the degradation of that organic waste to generate methane gas as a natural byproduct and then utilize that methane gas as a fuel or to generate electricity or whatever. We are in contract with a company. It's a three-party contract between SWACO, the city, and a private company out of Cleveland to put into place just such a facility here in Columbus. It's a great idea. It can be profitable. We're convinced of that.
But he's saying that they can't do it without you.
But isn't that subsidizing a private company?
We aren't subsidizing that.
They
have their own business model that they've presented. They are the ones that are obtaining the funding to build the facility. Okay. And we are not providing any financial support for that venture. What it will do is divert material from our landfill in order to treat that organic waste differently. But we view that as part of our mission. And if we implement the things that I touched on earlier to take a more a more business-like approach to how we operate SWACO, and don't be so utterly dependent on revenue from the landfill, then we can be very aggressive, more aggressive than we can be today in pursuing those kinds of projects. Now, Chris was talking about the Grocers Association. There's a lot of interest here in Columbus and Central Ohio for restaurants, grocery stores, and others to divert their organic waste to just those kinds of facilities. And the reason is money. If they can divert it to a facility like an anaerobic digester at a cheaper cost than we can landfill it, then it's to their advantage to do that. And that model would work very well. The $14 issue is something that is required by the state of Ohio, $14 per ton.
And it has to go to SWACO no matter where the tonnage eventually goes.
Unless we waive it.
Unless you waive it, okay.
So if it regardless of where it goes, the generator of that organic waste under Ohio law would be obligated to pay SWACO the fees that attach per state law. The $14 would have to be paid. We explored the possibility of not having to collect it, and we were told by the Ohio EPA we could not do that. So what we have done has been to cover that $14 in some cases. We're finding now that we cannot do that any longer. So earlier this year, we came to agreement with Ohio EPA, and they have moved to change Ohio law that would not require the collection of those fees on organic wastes that are going to composting or to anaerobic digestion systems.
We've got about six more minutes. I want to take a couple calls. Chandra, you're on the line. You have some ideas on how to cut costs. Chandra?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering about the budget and everything they cannot balance. But when I was in Eureka, California, I saw that the people, like they living one or two people at home, we don't have enough garbage to even put it outside sometimes. And we have to pay all this money. So why they don't have choices like come every 2 weeks to collect or...
Okay, so you're saying maybe in Columbus or anywhere give people a choice about what they pay because of, based on how much garbage they generate?
That they do that or collect every 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know? And tell people to save it or do the recycling or... Nowadays, we put everything together. Before, they used to make us separate, and they don't do anymore. I don't know what they do, why they mix it together, all these things.
Okay, Chandra, thanks for calling. Those are things that aren't necessarily in SWACO's power.
That's right.
Okay.
That's between the generator of the waste and either the municipality or the private collector that's picking it up.
They were talking about ideas like that when Columbus was struggling with its own budget before the tax increase, which just went into effect, took hold. But that's really not something SWACO has involvement with.
No, we do not.
Okay. Let's take another phone call. Marie, you're on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have been saving styrofoam since I heard about a company called Rastra that was supposed to collect styrofoam and mix it with concrete as a building material, and I haven't heard anything about it recently. Could you please update me?
Ron, go ahead.
Yes, I'd be happy to. Unfortunately, it's a sad story. The building material that you're referring to, and you're exactly correct, the styrofoam would be mixed with the cement to manufacture building panels for sale to builders that would represent a preferred alternative to conventional wood or masonry. This material would have a high insulating value, fireproof, and other qualities that are very desirable in building products. Unfortunately, about the time that our contractor, and this again is an arrangement whereby the private contractor would be responsible for funding the project for the construction as well as the operation as a for-profit business. When the economic downturn occurred, it was about the time when Rastra was prepared to launch the construction. Demand for building product has plummeted, as we know, over the last year and a half to 2 years. New construction simply isn't happening. Our private partner Rastra was impacted significantly by this and is unable to proceed with the project on their own with funding. And we are not in a position to pick that up and use taxpayer dollars to do it at this point.
I had a tour of the landfill a few years back, and I saw, we kind of stood at the precipice and watched huge semi-loads full of styrofoam dumped in to the landfill. It was pretty shocking. And I asked, where does it all come from? And mostly construction industry. It was interesting. How do they generate that? Do you know, Ron?
Well, a lot of it is involved in the packaging material that ships building products around the country.
Yeah.
And we want it out of the landfill as much as anybody.
Earl, you're on the air. Can you make it quick, though? We're almost running out of time.
Yes, I've been following this matter here and there in the news, and I saw something in Sunday's Dispatch, the editorial, about this whole situation, and I wanted to ask Ms. Harris a question in particular. As far as the other communities that you represent, have you thought about, you know, how you say if, as the article says, that, and by the way, I'm glad to hear SWCO is not going to raise its fees there at the landfill, because that cost would be passed on, from what I understand, to a much larger population. So we're looking at, say, 6,500 people versus, you know, over a million people.
Yeah. Can you get back to your question?
And what I want to know is if Ms. Harris has thought about how, you know, an increase, you know, at the landfill being passed around to everybody would affect her other community.
Okay. We talked about that earlier, Earl, but thanks for the question. Maybe we'll go over it again. We got about a minute left.
Thank you so much. Very quickly, my concern is sharing the pain, as I said earlier. I don't want to see increases across the board, but I want to see something that's fair and equitable and doesn't impact just Canal Winchester. As you heard, 6 to 7% cut in their income is significant for a small village such as theirs. And I think that we're working hard to try and equalize the pain, if you will, and make sure that minimal harm is done to Canal Winchester.
Chris Strayer, Economic Development Director in Canal Winchester, what would you like to see happen, you know, all things being equal? What sort of agreement would you like to see SWCO cut with Waste Management?
I would just like to see, you know, like Marion said, everybody feel a little bit of the pain, you know, so we don't have to suffer the full brunt force of it. And I want to make sure that, you know, public governments aren't going into the private marketplace and making such drastic changes that private corporations can't succeed and make a profit.
Well, I mean, Waste Management, Inc., it's the largest private waste hauler in the world. I mean, they're cutting deals in China.
Sure.
So I'm wondering why they can't absorb a little bit more of that. Have you questioned them?
We've had several conversations with them, but, you know, they obviously have to look at their corporation, you know, by each district. And what they're doing in China certainly has no effect on what they're doing here, but I'm certain they've taken that into consideration.
Okay. I'm sorry. We have run out of time. We have been talking about SWCO's budget problems, how they're trying to solve them, and how it's affecting Canal Winchester, among others. We have been talking with Ron Mills. Thank you for joining us, Ron, from SWCO.
My pleasure.
And also State Representative Marion Harris. Thanks for being here, Marion.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And then Chris Strayer, he's the Economic Development Director for Canal Winchester. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Take care. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820, NPR News.